So tonight we're taking a break from the book of Judges. Actually, we're done with Judges. Next week will be the book of Ruth. We'll do that for the last 4 weeks of the semester. We're taking a break from both of those, and we have Joel Jenny from Crossworld. And so he's going to be talking about how your major can be a key to be able to have an impact among the nations. So I think typically, as I've talked with different people and seen different people's kind of feelings and thoughts about mission stuff, there often tends to be this dichotomy of I can either, you know, key my major, but then like not do anything for God, or I can chuck my major, which is like really hard and like I don't really do it, and then I can like be a missionary and like have great impact with God's kingdom worldwide or something. And I think Joel is going to help us see that those are two like dichotomies that don't need to be there. That actually your major is a means that God can use to open up a lot of doors. So I'm really excited for Joel teaching tonight. He's coming out all the way out from Lancaster. He's got a family and kids and stuff, so he's here at sacrifice to himself. So please welcome him and pay attention. Take some notes, and his contact info is up at the top there, too, if you want to talk more with him. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you. Yeah, glad to be here with you guys. It's been a busy semester for me as well, so I haven't been able to come out and visit. So I've got a self. This is $20 to the person who wants the self. This is yours?
Just keep it right up there.
I can put my phone up here. Okay. I'm going to stay right here. Thank you, sir. So I haven't been able to be out, but I'm excited to be out here with you guys. It's been a blessing. I came out and had a couple of meetings with different people. Got to hang out with the Romans study, which was really fun. It's been a blessing to hear this testimony as well. And so I want you to know I'm blessed as I come out and I hear what God's doing in all of your lives, because it's really a tremendous thing. I want to start out. Now, if you don't know, what we're trying to do Andy asked me to do we're trying to connect back to the traveling team that came, right? Who remembers the traveling team coming? I do not, because I was not here. But I know the traveling team material somewhat, and so I'd like to know, what was a nugget of truth, something that spoke to you when the traveling team person or people came? I know, I'm actually asking your synapses to start connecting way back there so that you can remember, but I'd like your synapses to connect.
Wasn't it like only 4% of missionaries go to the 1040 window?
Okay, so you guys, they got into percentages of missionaries who go to the 1040, and what's so significant about the 1040?
It's the majority of unreached people groups.
Right, okay. Very good. What are some other thoughts? They talk about the Bible at all?
Basically just how it's God's plan that like all nations would come to him, and they talk about Abraham and like how that promise that one man all nations would
be. Awesome. Yeah. Incredible stuff. Anybody else had like dying to share one more thing about what they learned from the traveling team? One more thing. I love the traveling team material. I have to say, when I started learning and understanding what she just shared, and actually statistics too, because that had a big impact on me pursuing the idea of missions and taking the gospel to places in the world. But understanding the story, that it's not just a story that starts with Jesus saying, "Go make disciples." Like, it didn't. You know, Jesus didn't go, "You know, I'm leaving this world. I probably should tell them something. I'm going to tell them to go make disciples of all nations." Like, he didn't just come up with that, okay? He was actually reiterating something, like, he was doing something that was actually laid out back in Genesis, which is what you guys talked about, and has been a big theme throughout all of Scripture, and he's kind of just following it up. And it's an amazing thing, because you and I then become a part of this story, because what happened with Abraham and the promises that were given, and even he said, "I'm going to bless you, and you will be a blessing." Okay? Well, that same thing was given to Isaac and Jacob. And then jump here in Galatians, and it says that all of you who are in Christ are seeds of Abraham. You're part of this heritage of Abraham. Man, when I found out that I was a part of the heritage of Abraham way back here, it just made the gospel more powerful. It made God's story more real. And I think I knew that, but I didn't understand it. And it was just a really powerful reality to understand the same blessing and the end to be a blessing, that thing playing out there in Genesis 12, it passes down to you and I who are believers. So I wanted to keep that in mind. We're going to add a little piece onto that. But what I want to do first is I want to interact. I'm going to start out with a story to illustrate what I'm going to share after the story, okay? So, how easy? I know you showed me already, but I'm going to let you go. Much easier that way. Oh, by the way, before he presses play, I want you to, this guy here, his name is Grant. He doesn't look old enough to be married, but he is. He has a kid. He and his family serve in Thailand. Okay, I want you to listen to some of the things that Grant says, and I'm going to ask you some questions afterwards, okay?
Basically, most of the country hasn't been reached. My name is Grant, and I'm a teacher in Anuban Sukhothai School. The government of Thailand really wants the Thai people to learn English. So they've opened the door everywhere to native speakers of English to come in. Thousands of schools that need teachers now. And we're trying to provide those schools with quality teachers. We're not coming in subversively. We're not coming in using this as a quote-unquote platform. We are genuine teachers in every respect, and we are coming in telling people from the get-go who we are, why we're here, that we're here as representatives of Jesus Christ, that we're going to teach with our whole hearts and do that as representatives of Jesus Christ. It ends up being a very busy day. I go home exhausted, but knowing that today I was the only person that is their direct connection to the person of Jesus Christ. You make an impact right away with with your peers and with the administration of the school and the parents of the kids. But on top of that, you get a salary to boot. Makes you relatable because you work and you work for a comparable wage. It's a huge opportunity to make an immediate impact in a country that has great need. If you know Christ, you can represent Him here.
Okay. So, what were some of the things that Grant mentioned that stood out to you? Teaching. Stood out. Kishina, yeah.
They're literally asking people to come into their country.
Oh, my word, they are. We could send hundreds of teachers to Thailand to be in public schools, in the Thai schools. There's an open door. The Thai government invites us in. Because they want to learn English, and they want their English levels to grow so their economy can grow, so that their country can grow. Yeah. What else?
He's their only connection to Christ.
Yeah, that line's it gets me every time. Like, he may be the only direct connection to the person of Jesus Christ that this person, the people in his life will ever meet. Yeah. What do you say about teaching? What do you say about how they do their teaching? They teach with their whole heart. They teach and they do their job well. They want to be good teachers and do it well. They don't want to just go in saying, oh yeah, we're teachers and secretly we're going to be doing this ministry. They want to do it well as representatives of Jesus Christ, which then follows up with more conversations at other times. So I want to read. Grant sent an update one time, this is not too long ago. And I want to read a little section of what he says here. Okay, so remember, he's a teacher, and so he's in these schools day in and day out doing teaching English to kids. And so he's actually at a coworker's desk named Malik, and he's explaining. He has the opportunity to have a spiritual conversation, and is explaining the gospel through the scriptures, right? And at one point, she paused pensively and said with a smile, "You are really good at explaining these things clearly. You know, you could be one of those people that travels around and teaches others about Jesus." I couldn't help but laugh, thanking her for her compliment. While being one of those people is usually meant in a negative way, our hope is that when people say it about us, our team, or our church, they think of Jesus. Ultimately, we are all ambassadors of his kingdom and are called to be representatives of his character. It is a high calling, but one that he works out in us by his spirit into the glory of his name. You catch that? See, they're trying to be the best teachers they can be, and she's going, "Man, you explain this whole your religion thing out really well." And he's a teacher to her. He's just a co-worker who's living out his faith, and he's trying to do his teaching to the best of his ability. Tonight, I want to really actually, let me just check the time so I know. 7:35. What time do I have till? Just so, because I didn't see when I started, so I don't want to make sure. I can get talking. I'll be honest.
I don't know what time you started.
Time to start. All right. Well, he doesn't have time, so I can go as long as I want.
All night. All
right. Many times we do think of missions as raising support and going somewhere as a missionary. And yet, 70 countries in the world are close to missionaries. Okay, and 70 countries in the world, and many of them house what the traveling team has talked about in terms of the unreached people groups. That's where many of them live, are in these 70 countries close to missionaries. So we're going, if Jesus is serious about taking the gospel to these places and representing them there, and we can't get there as missionaries, then what do we do? And so at Crossworld, let me say, Your major is going to be a key to the least to impact and the least reached. I forgot that slide. We changed the order a little bit. So, your major is really important in this whole endeavor of talking about this. It's not that you need to, that we're not talking leaving your major so that you can go be a missionary. We're saying how can you represent Christ through your major in a world that actually values what you may bring to the table. Okay, and I'm going to share some stories, but we're also going to talk about the scriptural basis behind some of this as well. But at Crossroad, our passion is to see disciple makers using their professions to bring God's love to life. Just like Grant, he's living life with these people, and he's bringing God's love to life as he works with his coworkers in these least reached marketplaces. And he's making disciples. And that's what our team is doing. And they do that in teaching, but they do that in a lot of other areas as well. So tonight, if you open your handout, the traveling team brought you back to Genesis, and they might have even brought you back to... Did you guys look at this passage? I think you probably did. Genesis 1:27-28 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on earth. What do you see? How are we made? It's not a complicated question.
In his image.
You guys know this is in this account here is very different than the rest of creation. The rest of creation said God said it and it was. This is, it says, God, the Trinity, comes again and says, let us make man in our image. It's different than the rest of creation. There's a special way in which he talks about it, almost like an intimate way he talks about how he created mankind. And he gives them a different role. And so they are very unique compared to the rest of creation. In fact, so they're created in his image. And what he says is, it says, he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. All right, let's stop there. What did he say? So we have people created in the image of God, right? And maybe the traveling team covered this. I don't know. So we are his image bearers, right? So we represent God.
his creation, his people represent God. And then he says, now I want you to be fruitful and fill the earth. What is he saying? Some say he's saying that from the standpoint of take my image and spread it, be my image bearers over all the earth. All of my creation, what I've created, be my image bearer over all the earth. Okay, that's what God is asking his people to do. And he's giving them this a task too. He's saying, I want you to subdue it and rule over it. So we're to actually care for this and kind of manage and rule this creation that God has made as his image bearer. And that's really, it's really important. Because sometimes we don't remember that one of the primary reasons for mankind existing was to be image bearers of the true and the living God on this created planet that he made. It's part of his purpose for us. Okay? So, and he also then gives us a task to subdue it and rule over it. So God is already at work saying, alright, I have things for you to do. Alright? Now let's go to the next section, okay? Because Genesis 2:15. So the second half of the creation, or the other part of the way it's done. Then the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Okay? Adam was put in the garden, and he was given work to do. This is not a stretch, guys. Adam was given work to do. And in some regards, I think there's people who, there's a good theology out there that when we go into heaven, we're not going to just like be lounging around under palm trees and stuff like that. We're actually going to probably have work to do. God from the very beginning gave man work to do, and that work is good. Now here, let me ask a question. This is Genesis 2:15. What has not happened yet?
The fall.
Sin has not entered the world yet, and God has already given them this command of, well, first of all, that you're created in the image of God, you're to go and fill the earth as my image bearers, and you're to work. Guys, how many of you hate going to work on Monday? You hear it all the time. Everybody hates, I mean, not everybody, but like, it's work has this negative thing going on, right? Now, there's a reason for that, too. I'll touch on that. But we look at work, and it's not usually a favorable thing. You guys are even going to college to get a degree to work. And some of you are going, I'm really not looking forward, though, to get out and get into the workplace. Some of you are, but some of you are not. It's not, work is not always looked favorably by us. And I think sometimes we think of it this way, because what happens is in the fall, what's one of the curses?
Work.
Well, not just work. That work is going to be toilsome. It's going to be laboring. For Adam. The ground's going to be hard. There's going to be weed. So work becomes hard because of the fall. But work was given before the fall. Okay? And that's important, because you got to realize, so as we talk about work, work is not a bad thing. It's actually a God-given part of our lives. And it's not a bad thing. Even though it feels like it sometimes, it's not. Okay? And so as we think through even today, what God said in the beginning, and this command to be fruitful, increase, and fill the earth. And then, again, if you take the Abraham passage and this covenant that you're going to be, I'm going to bless you and you will be a blessing. That comes into us today. Our work, and we as his image bearers, are still called to fill the earth with his image. Okay? Stick with me. So let me see if I really have that one. let me bring this into reality here today. All right, you guys talk about traveling team. There's no board here. Interact with me. 30 million. Big number, small number? Big number. Can you comprehend 30 million? No, it's hard to. And I couldn't either. 30 million represents a people group called the Manhattan people of India. Okay? I was reading about them this past summer and I was praying for them. And it was the Manhattan people, they're part of the working class. They work and they provide for their family. They're not the lowest caste in India. But they're made up of 30 million people. And as I read down this description, I come across this line. 30 million people. There is no known follower of Jesus among this people group. 30 million. So let me put that in perspective. That would be like you all being the only person in this room who is a follower of Jesus. You would walk outside of the doors of this school. You could drive 8 hours north to the border of New York and Canada, 3 hours east or 2 hours east to the border between New Jersey and Pennsylvania, or 4 hours, 5 hours west to the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania, and you would never encounter another follower of Jesus. You could go to Philadelphia, you could go to New York City, you could go to Buffalo, New York, you could go to Pittsburgh, you could go to Shippensburg. You would never encounter another follower of Jesus in the states of Pennsylvania and New York. That's 30 million people. No follower of Jesus. So when we talk about this idea of being his image bearer, there's still places in the world that do not have his image being, what did you say that, born there? There's still people groups that don't have image bearers living among them. How do we expect them to come to know the true and the living God? They won't. In fact, in that people group, the likelihood is that they will be born, they will live life and die, and they'll never hear the name of Jesus one time. Okay, one time. That's staggering. I go to coffee shops and meet Christians all the time. Okay? You guys have a group of 40 people on your college campus. I'm assuming maybe you're even more than that. There's not an image bearer among that people group. That's kind of to put it in contrast. As image bearers, yet there's also places in the world where they don't have that. Bring it into our world. Our garden is a sacred venue to love and serve God and others for the flourishing of humanity and God's ultimate glory. It is our place in God's world where he is displayed. Do you look at your preparing for your work as a place where God's going to be displayed through you? Where we create, shape, and influence culture to reflect God's love, justice, beauty, and power, his shalom. As such, it is a venue for making disciples. Our work reflects God and is the means of his work in the world. It's like our guy who works for that church is John Spadafore, and he's done a lot of study on this. Guys, that's a picture of work that I would encourage you to adapt to your life and adopt. That your work is for more than just earning a paycheck. Although it is for that, because we need to live off that. It's actually a way you provide for your family. But it's also a way to impact people and lives. And that's for here, but as we're also looking and saying, but we need people to do that as they go to these unreached areas of the world, because quite honestly, there's many places missionaries can't get in anymore, but someone doing their job in a legitimate way, they can get in there, and they can be representatives of Jesus, and they can have keys to unlock conversations with them about the gospel in natural ways. Okay? That makes sense. So work is something that God desires to use. And bring this up. And then we would actually say that God, I don't have a bigger version of this. Disciple makers in mission work, because traditional missions isn't dead. In fact, it's really necessary in many places, but not every place. Marketplace work is very needed in many places, but not all places. We believe all are important in making disciples of all nations. Jesus' command is not just for the pastors and missionaries. It's for everybody. And when we think about going to the nations, it's not just for the professional missionary who's gone through seminary stuff. It's actually for the engineer. It's actually for the business people. It's for the teachers. It's for the nurses. It's for the social work. It's for the communications people. It's for all these things. Because you know what? They have a venue to make disciples that people here won't have. But these people have a venue that these people won't have. And they can work together. It's both and. Okay, but tonight we're really talking about disciple makers using your work as a means of building relationships and taking the gospel to the least reached. I'm going to skip past this next slide, and because you're going to look at it in your small group, and it's a little cumbersome to read out loud. I realized that as I went through it again, but I do want you to connect the message though when you guys talk about it in your small groups. Because it really does connect with this whole idea then coming into the New Testament. And again, when I was in Romans, I was reminded of this again, because you have Jesus, and the purpose that God has for us is to be conformed into the image of who? Jesus. So we're born as image bearers of God, and yet then we fail in that because we're sinful, and therefore we're not representing him well. We don't live out that image well. And then Jesus says, my purpose is that you actually be conformed to the image of Jesus and then go and live that out in the world and point other people to that. We are his image bearers. We are his ambassadors. Each one of us. There's nobody in this room, if you're a follower of Jesus, that's not that. Or that shouldn't be that. Okay? We all have that. First of all, it's an incredible gift of God. And we get to share that with other people. So let me share an example. Ryan. I had the privilege of spending a couple of weeks in February with Ryan. Ryan is one of the guy in the middle here. This guy. Ryan, he and his wife and four kids live in Cambodia. He and his wife were saved later in life and just have an incredible testimony and an incredible passion to make disciples, right? And so Ryan went to Cambodia. Ryan and his wife went to Cambodia. They learned the language, became better at depth of understanding the culture. But Ryan's a worker. He has an architectural and engineering background, and he used to work in the construction industry, designing homes and working on all that stuff, right? And so he's a worker type of guy. And so after a language study, gets a job in this wood shop. He's actually a project foreman. It's a Cambodian-run company. Okay, so all the Cambodians around, he got a job in their company, and they pay him to be a project manager. And he gets the privilege of working with these Cambodian young men on a daily basis. And he's like, Joel, this is an incredible open door for spiritual conversations because these guys are hungry. They are spiritually hungry. But he said, this is what I ran into. He goes, these guys, I can't come to them and go, you know what, I just want you to know God loves you. And actually, Jesus loves you. He says they have no concept in their upbringing as to what that means. They don't even understand what the word God means. Because in their culture, God can be the same word as moon or sun. So for most of these guys, when you say God loves you, they just don't even have there's no concept in their brain, in their background, that makes any sense to them. He says they've spent their entire life, they wake up every day, never having a thought that they were created by God. They never have had that thought. To you and I, second nature, oh yeah, God created the earth, right, created us. They've never had a thought that they were created by a loving God. And so he says, what I have to do is I have to start back there. I start back at creation, and I introduce them to the God who created them and loves them and created them with a purpose. The same stuff we just talked about. He says, I introduced them that they're their creator. And he says, it blows their mind because they've never heard it before. And he says, from there, I just start walking through the Old Testament until I get to Jesus, and I get to introduce them to who Jesus is and what he's done for them. And he says, they just eat it up and they're hungry. And many have come to know Christ. And he does it as he works alongside of them, invited them to do Bible study outside of work, and just doing life with them. Okay? That shop is now closed down. But he's been so convinced of that being in the workplace with these guys has opened up incredible, unlocked the door. Remember the key in the world. Unlocked the door for opportunities to share Christ and to make disciples. That he's now putting together a business plan to actually start a business doing the same thing. A woodworking, high-end furniture, woodworking business. Where he hired Cambodians, work alongside of them. They sell the product, and they're making money. That's the idea. But he's also pointing them to Jesus as he does it, and making disciples. Woodworking. engineering, architecture. Ryan, to be honest, Ryan couldn't have gone to Cambodia and scripted that, though. He was willing to walk in obedience, and he went. And as he saw it, he said, you know what, I'm going to fit into this piece, using my skill set and profession to do that. Here's another, some of the other guys that he works with. So that's one example. I've been mentoring a guy for the last few years. So this is kind of a story about a guy who's more in your arena of life right now. He had a heart for missions, just wanted to jump. He went down to Haiti for 6 months, loved it, and just wanted to go back, just jump right back into it because he saw the need and saw the poverty and all that. And so I just sat, and actually I met him at a coffee shop. Yeah, I heard him talking about missions, and I just kind of had a pause. I turned around and said, hi, my name is Joel. Here's my information. If you want to talk, I'm here to talk. Well, he's been, and we've been meeting for the last 3 or 4 years now. But I started mentoring him and discipling him, and even in some regards slowing down. He was just out of high school. And I started slowing down, and he started, as he slowed down, and he started to learn. We started to, actually, I took him through a book that helped, that walks, like the traveling team that walks through that. It's called God's Heart for the Nation by Jeff Lewis. We walked through that first lesson, blew him away, because it's all about God's glory. And how God's glory is mentioned throughout the scriptures, and that is actually the main purpose of all of this. And he's like, I've never seen that before. And it just, the rest of the study was just cake after that, because even he was just blown away by that. And he realized he slowed down. And so God started building in him a heart for for unreached people like we've talked about. And he said, and it started to get focused around the Muslim world. So North Africa and Middle East, he really started to get a heart for North Africa and the Middle East because he saw the lack of workers and people going there. But he realized, okay, well, in order to be there, I have to have a reason to be there. So he wrestled with a profession for a while. What am I going to do? And he landed on engineering, and now he's gone through 2 years of school, and now he's continuing on to finish up his engineering degree while he goes on. But what's cool is, So this guy, he's been doing this, and as he goes along, God is so cool. God keeps putting, and I'm not going to mention the country's name because he's going to be going there, but God keeps putting guys in his path from this certain country in North Africa. 3 different times now. He's roomed with 2 of them, and 1 of them has been a professor of his. And so much so, like, that he's going this summer to visit these guys. He's going to go take some Arabic, and then he's going to go visit his friends, who are now friends because he lived with them, and he's built a relationship, and he's had significant conversations with them. He's going to go and spend some time with them in this North African country. Okay? So, guys, it can start here. But he's prayed, he's put himself in position to do that, and he's just moving forward. And he sees himself somewhere in North Africa, the Middle East, striving really hard to not have a lot of school debt so that he can go out as soon after as possible. And he's working through those things, building a relationship with a home church. Guys, all that stuff is so critical in all of this. Even if you're going to use your profession, you want your church to send you out. You want your church praying, being, sending you out. So if you're thinking through that, that's a little side. That's actually not even notes. You can just have that for free. I met another guy. I think he was a former disciple. I met him at a prospectus class up at State College. And he came to me with his resume. And on the top of his resume, I don't have it word for word, but it said something like this. I exist to impact the least reached nations or the unreached nations through my computer technology skills. And he already worked for a tech company. He has his PhD in some computer technology stuff, right? Really smart. But on the top of his resume, that's his purpose, is he wants to impact the unreached through his skill set. And so he's actually moving to Japan to work for a tech company. I invited him, said, come for our training, we'll help you do that better. He chose not to. He's going to go and just do it. But that's okay. I mean, he's going to go try to live out Christ in Japan working a job in a tech company. And we're working with somebody from Microsoft to do the same thing, where his company is shipping him to another place in the world. And he's like, but I want to make disciples as I go. And I want to be intentional. He and his wife want to be intentional. And so, like, can we come through your training? Absolutely. Come through our training. Learn how to learn culture, language, and how to share the gospel in another context. I'll share a crazy one with you. This is one of these things that you cannot script. Okay? You cannot script this. I was connected with a guy who wanted to do coaching overseas, basketball coaching. And so we were talking with it. There's a company out there that's a kingdom-minded company that helps find positions, like paid positions, for like national teams or like countries who want to improve their Olympic prospects. They'll hire coaches from other areas to come in and coach their people, even to do like athletic training and personal training type of things like that. So we're talking with this company, right? And he wanted to go get a job. And that didn't end up panning out. He ended up going a different way. But I got connected to this company. Last year, this company, the person who I talked to, comes to our headquarters, and I happen to be there too in Kansas City. And she has this couple. And this couple, the guy, is an American football coach. Okay, American football. Not European, not the rest of the world football. American football. And he's been living in the Middle East for the last 10 plus years now. And his job is he's an American football coach. Because American football is actually getting really big in some places in the Middle East. He's helped place over 50 coaches in the Middle East for American football. Like, I'm not sure anybody would go, you know, how should we get into the Middle East? American football coach. That just makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make sense, but God's doing things like that. And this guy gets paid by university and even semi-professional teams to coach football. And then other people come in at lower levels. There's all different levels of coaching. But the purpose, like I say this, is like that's God's creativity. He can use it. He gets an opportunity to live out and be an image bearer among these predominantly Muslim team members. And he lives in the community. And his wife teaches English as well. They're connecting with all these people, living out the gospel and sharing the gospel. As they do what they are very skilled at doing, and they do it well. Okay, they're using their professions to do that. I mean, again, I could give a teaching English abroad. You can go as a traditional missionary and do that. You can go and find jobs and do that in places if you're really good at it. If you get into like the master's level, I mean, I hear people getting jobs in places like, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Middle Eastern countries. He's recording this, so I'm trying to be a little bit more vague. But you can get jobs doing those things. Now and then again as a what's the beginning part of our message today? As his image bearer. In your workplace. Passionate to make disciples. I want to hit on that one. That's key, guys. There are a lot of Christians who live overseas and work overseas. We're not new to this. We're not, like, creating this. But they don't engage their faith in it. They don't actually take their faith and live it out. Many times they stay within like American bubbles when they live overseas. So when I'm talking about this, we're talking about going with the intention of taking the gospel to areas and to the peoples who have less access to the gospel, and using your profession to do it. But as I was reading, some of you, I wrestled with whether I share this. Some of you may be asked to give up your profession. Okay? I want to encourage all of you, don't do that, because it could be really, really, really useful. But some of you may be asked to, because you know what? That's just how God does it sometimes. And I was talking with Bree about Europe. I mean, Europe is still, there's so many disciple-making opportunities in Europe. And the easiest way to be there, and the most straightforward, is a religious worker visa most of the time, a missionary visa.
If any of you have, I'm going to steal my hat. I'm even talking with Matt Geiger about this. Like, I'd love to see, there's college, university campuses who need disciple makers on those campuses interacting with college students. Right? I'm secretly praying that disciple makers in Crossworld will kind of join together and say, how can we do this together and get more disciple makers in the college campuses and university campuses in Europe? But we'll see how God works that out. I hope this makes sense. It's really important, guys. Whether God may be asking some of you just to stay here and live out your faith in your workplace. Do it well. Be a representative of Jesus here. Some of you are going to be asked to go somewhere else in the world. Do it well. Prepare well so that you can have long-term effectiveness. Some of you are going to be asked to give up your profession and go be potentially a more traditional style missionary. Do it well. Pursue Christ and live him out. The most important piece in all of them is this. Watch my hand. Because if you're not open to it, if you're not willing to say, Lord, my life is not my own. It belongs to you. I will go wherever you want me to go. Well, then it doesn't necessarily matter. But if you're there, if you do that, oh man, God can do so much with that. And that's not even a guarantee like that you'll be able to go overseas somewhere. That's just saying, God, you have my life. It's the most important piece to all of this. All right, Father God, I thank you for this group. I thank you for how you are at work. And Lord, I thank you that they are here in school, getting their degree, that Lord, to be in workplaces where the gospel needs to go forward. And Lord, many of them are thinking about that here, which is very true. They can live out their faith here. But Lord, I pray that you would stir some of their hearts, Lord, to be willing to go. And even, Lord, that you would stir them and direct their path to the nations to work and to be your image bearer, Lord, and to make disciples of all nations as they go, Lord. I pray that you would continue to build that vision and send them out, Lord. I pray that you would work in their churches and empower their churches to be about sending people to the unreached. Lord, maybe some of their churches are a little not doing that right now. I pray that, Lord, you would use people in here to stimulate the heart of the church to see the nations and to see, God, your heart for the nations. Lord, may you do a mighty work among this group. I thank you for what I've heard even so far as I've been here tonight. And Lord, we trust that you will make your name known and exalt your name to the unreached because of what you're doing here today. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.